This is Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. I'm Bill Crozier, calling to order the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. Nancy, could you call the roll for us, please?
Okay. All right. KBFA, Sharon Adams. Sharon, I do not hear you. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony, present. KPFK, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace, present. Next is Fred Blair.
I'm here.
Fred, present. Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan, present. Okay. WBAI.
You didn't call my name, Nancy. This is Charles Fredericks.
Oh, you're here. Okay, Charles is here.
I am here. Yes.
All right, Charles, present. Next, WBAI, Frank Lefevre.
Here.
Frank, present. Bob Litter.
Here.
Bob Litter, present. Serene Roberts.
Here.
Serene, present. KPFT, Bill Crozier. Bill, present. Right?
Here. Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
okay. Deb Shafto. Deb Shafto, cannot hear you. Nancy, myself, present. And who else? Wesley Bethune. Wesley, cannot hear you. And WPFW is Jim Brown.
Present.
Jim? Oh, Jim, present. Oh, good. Okay, and let's see. Eric Ramey. Eric, I cannot hear you. Nancy Sorden. Nancy Sorden, I cannot hear you. And Marion Douglas Ngaro. Marion, I cannot hear you. Okay, so we have, let's see, Nancy, that's one. Bill 2, Serene 3, Bob 4, Frank 5, Charles 6, Fred 7, Grace 8. 8. That's not quorum, is it?
I counted 11. Could you read the names again?
Okay. Grace 1, Fred 2, Charles 3, Frank 4, Bob 5, Serene 6, Bill 7, Nancy Cyberna 8, Jim Brown 9. Who did I not call?
Me, Anthony.
Goodman.
Anthony? Oh, you're here. Okay. Mm-hmm. How come I had you absent? I'm sorry. Okay.
And did you mention Jan Goodman?
Yes, Jan is present. Yes. Let's see. I think so. Let me see. What did I do? Jan Goodman. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I scratched you out. I'm sorry. You're unscratched now. Okay. So we have 10. You're right.
Okay, thank you. I still counted 11, but I guess, okay, we'll worry about that later. Okay.
You're right, you're right. It's 11. It's 11. I'm sorry.
Would somebody like to volunteer as timekeeper, please?
Last time Fred did, I think. It was very nice.
I could be timekeeper, but I don't have your agenda with the times for each segment.
Okay, well, we can review the agenda. And I can read the times. I mean, I'll try to do this. It's just sometimes I'm when I'm
okay. Well,
notes,
I'll timekeep.
Cheering. I don't always notice that.
The first segment is how long?
Well, I'll read the agenda, and then I'll give the time for each one too. So,
okay.
Okay. All right. So the next thing is agenda approval, and I'll just go ahead and read that for anybody listening or who doesn't have it handy. Agenda approval: 5 minutes. Approved minutes from the June 28th committee meeting, 5 minutes, which I believe Nancy just sent out about 2 minutes ago or 3 minutes ago. Next is update committee on the motions from the PNB on election expenses for 5 minutes. Next is report from Lynn Serpe, our 2016 National Election Supervisor, and Q&A for 45 minutes, and she requested that be at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Sorry.
So we might need to work around that. She had another meeting, and she had to travel or something after that, so she suggested 9 p.m. Eastern.
Point of privilege.
Beg your pardon?
Point of privilege.
Yes, Shereen?
Someone is doing something wrong with their phone. That echo is terrible.
Yeah, if you're not talking, it does help to mute. Either mute it on your phone, or you can do pound one to mute or unmute. Next item on the agenda, report from the working group discussion, problems with the 2015 and past elections and potential areas for improvement, for 30 minutes. And if I forgot, we had 45 minutes for the NES report in Q&A. Then review action items for 5 minutes and set the next meeting date for 5 minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay,
this
thanks,
is Grace. I'd like to add something to the agenda.
Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, before the National Election Supervisor comes on before her report, as 5A, I would like to add an agenda item about the WPFW election or non-election. I'd like to suggest that the nomination period be extended for WPFW since there are fewer candidates than there are open seats.
Okay. Do you have a time for that? Amount of time?
7 minutes.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion?
This is Serene.
Okay, Serene.
Okay, so I object. It's 8:43. I don't think we should be loading things up ahead of the election supervisor's report. I don't see that as hers is a time certain, is it?
Right, she probably won't be on the call until right about 9 Eastern.
I'm sorry. Her time on the agenda is time certain, is it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And we have 2 5-minute items each after agenda approval before that.
Right, okay. Thank you.
And it may take less than that. Okay, other discussion?
Yeah, Nancy from KPFT. I had sent
okay,
earlier two things to discuss and perhaps vote on. One was about the LES and NES having authority over the carts or promotional cart or promotional PSAs, and the other one was about what did I put? Two things. The other motion was what? Oh, about the carts being published before they start. We've never been able to accomplish that. Although we were promised at the last election, but we never got it. So those two things. And after, well after the NES finishes her report and her Q&A.
Okay, so you're suggesting put that after the NES reporting Q&A?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you can also ask those of the NES if we have time. But
yes, I plan.
Okay, so any discussion on that? Oh, well, let me actually first forget. Were there any objections to adding Grace's amendment?
I object to the NES.
Okay. Well, is there any more discussion on that one? Well, just put that on hold for a second, Nancy. I'm sorry. We need to finish that other amendment first. So were there any discussion on Grace's amendment to add 7 minutes for the WPFW elections or next or non-election? Yes, Bob?
Yeah, I move to amend Grace's motion to move that item to right after the NES report.
Okay.
And then I also have another item, which could I introduce that now? I could make it part of the same amendment, actually. Cause it's all
if you make it part of the same amendment. Yeah,
yeah,
we already
okay.
got, this is the second amendment, so we can't,
okay,
can't do any
so
more, but
I'll,
you can change.
Let me
add on to that one.
In a combined way. So it would be to move the WPFW discussion for 7 minutes to right after the NES report, and then after that to have a 10-minute discussion of cost cutting by mandating bulk mail rather than first class mail.
But okay. Who's here?
Who was that? Who said that? Who came on?
This is Bethune, KPFT.
Oh, Wesley? Okay.
Okay. Hi, Wesley.
Hi.
We're discussing the agenda right now. Okay. Who was that?
This is Nancy. Are you saying...
Just hold a second. I thought I heard another voice, and I need to let Bob... I need to make sure he's finished. Were you
yes.
finished with that
yes,
amendment?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, so right now we're discussing Bob's amendment. So discussion on that? Are there any objections?
WPFW, and Bob's agenda item is about WPFW and then about bulk mail. Is that right?
Right, correct, for 10 minutes.
He wants to amend Grace's motion to move it to the WPFW election or non-election to after the NAS report instead of before it, and also to have a 10-minute discussion about cost-cutting using bulk mail.
Point of information.
Both. Yes, Jan?
If we moved the Grace's point to after the report, would it still be within the time that she can address it? Or if not, will it be within the time that she can address it? Otherwise, I would oppose it.
Talking about she meaning NES?
Yes.
I think Lynn said that she would probably just be on the call for about 45 minutes. I mean, she might be able to stay on longer, but
What I'm saying is that would Grace be able to bring up that point during the time that the NES is on the line?
Well, I think anybody can ask any question relevant to the NES report or what they need the NES to do during the Q&A period. But again, of course, we might run out of time.
Okay.
But the motion right now from Bob is to move that to after the NES report.
Okay. But Jan Goodman.
Okay. Okay. Is there any more discussion on that amendment?
Yes. Jan Goodman on the stack.
Nancy?
Yes. So I'm asking, so Bob can still at the same time, he can ask these points with the NES, right, about the bulk mail, about WPFW?
Well, you know, you can ask the NES personally anything about the elections, so that's true. You can do that.
But for us to move on it or make a motion, or that'd be after her report, right?
Well, that's what Bob's motion says.
Okay. I understand now. Thank you.
Can I speak real briefly about the rationale?
Go ahead.
Been through this a little bit this year and a lot last year, which is the NES's time is valuable and very limited. So we can separate information about what she's doing on a given subject or what her opinion is of some of our proposals, but the deliberation back and forth and the wordsmithing and the amendments, that shouldn't be on that person's time. That should be on our time after we've heard from them, you know, whatever we need to hear to make an informed decision. So that's why I think it makes sense to do it in that order. And not just on these two items, but anything like that that comes up, we don't need to involve the NES in our internal process.
Okay. Any more discussion on this, or can we vote on this amendment?
Yes, discussion. Jan Goodman.
Okay, Jan.
I would like to very briefly, I think that this is something we want to present to the NES. If we don't do it now, it may be too late. I think we should have this motion discussed before she comes on the line, which means really fast.
Okay. So you're opposed to Bob's motion?
Correct.
Okay. Any more discussion? Can we go ahead and call the roll on Bob's amendment?
Okay.
Nancy, can you read that?
Yes.
Grace's motion is, and then Bob's amendment to her motion. So
okay.
People know where
Grace's motion, I don't have, but so could you reiterate it? Yes is what and no is what?
It's simply to ask that the WPFW nomination period be extended.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Bob's amendment. Do you have that, Nancy?
Bob's amendment is to discuss this after the NES report, and also about the possibility of using bulk mail to save money.
Okay. So can you call the roll on Bob's amendment? And then we'll vote on the...
Okay, Bob Noonan. You're right.
And then we'll vote on Grace's motion either the way it was or as amended.
Okay, on Bob's amendment, how do you vote? Sharon Adams, KPFA. Sharon, I do not hear you. Anthony Fest?
Pass.
Pass. Anthony Pass. Grace Aaron from KPFK?
No.
Grace, no. Fred Blair?
No.
Fred Blair, no. Jan Goodman?
No.
Jan Goodman, no. Charles Fredericks?
No,
Charles, no. Okay, from WBAI, Frank Lefevre?
No.
Frank Lefevre, no. Bob Litter?
Yes.
Yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Yes, Serene, yes. Bill Crozier?
Abstain?
Okay, and
yes.
Bill abstain. Deb Shafto? Deb, I do not hear you. Nancy Sauber and I are telling myself a yes. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Wesley, yes. Okay, Jim Brown?
Yes.
Jim Brown, yes. Eric Ramey? Eric, I do not hear you. Nancy Sorden? Nancy Sorden, I do not hear you. Marion Douglas Ngaro? Marion Douglas, I do not hear you. Okay, we've got the yeses are Bob.
Come back to me, please. Anthony here. I pass.
Anthony is pass. I'm sorry, pass. Yes, Anthony pass.
So,
Anthony pass.
I will vote no.
Anthony will vote no. Okay. And did anybody else pass? No. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let me count the no's first. Anthony, no. Grace, no. Fred, no. Jan, no. Charles, no. Frank, no. That's six. Six no's. Okay. Yes is Bob, yes. Serene, yes. Nancy, yes. Wesley, yes. Jim, yes. That's five. Five yes. And one abstention. The chair wanted to vote.
I have a point of
information. I already abstained.
Okay.
Was that a point of information?
Serene.
Okay, well, just a second. That amendment fails, and we'll have to vote on Grace's original motion in a second. But go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so Bob made a two-part amendment. Did both parts fail?
Well, it was made as one amendment, so yes.
I'm sorry?
It was made as one amendment, so yes. He can still bring us up during discussion if there's time. With the NES. Okay, well, time is getting short, so can we go ahead and vote on Grace's amendment now, which was to add a short discussion about WPFW before the NES report?
Yeah, to extend the nomination period for WPFW. Is that right, Grace? I hope I'm right. Okay, is that right? So yes would be to extend the WPFW Grace's motion, and no would be not to extend.
Point of order.
Yes?
Serene?
So nominations have already closed, so you can't extend something that's closed. This motion is clearly not in order.
Well, I don't know what exactly she wants to propose exactly. So she originally said about the election or non-election, the WPFW election or non-election. So.
She just said what she's proposing. She's proposing that it be extended.
Okay, well, I'm going to rule until we find out more specifics that it's in order, because all we're doing right now is adding it to the agenda. And then if you want to make that, after we hear more specifics, if you want to make your point of order again, I'll be glad to listen to it then.
Okay, shall I call the roll, Bill?
Well, just in case, are there any objections to Grace's amendment?
Yes, because I think it's out of order, but...
Okay, so yeah, go ahead and call the roll then, please. This is for Grace's amendment.
Okay, for Grace's amendment, yes, to add it to the agenda for the WPFW election extension. Okay, Sharon Adams? Sharon, I do not hear you. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Anthony, yes. KPFK, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Grace, yes. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Fred, yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan, yes. Okay, Charles Fredericks?
Yes.
Charles Fredericks, yes. Frank Lefevre from WBAI?
Yes.
Frank Lefevre, yes. Bob Litter?
No.
Bob Litter, no. Serene Roberts?
No.
No. Serene, no. Bill from KPFT, Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. And Deb Shafto? Deb, I do not hear you. Nancy Sabra and Naitomi, no. And Wesley Bethune?
No.
Wesley Bethune, no. Jim Brown?
No.
Jim Brown, no. Eric Ramey? Eric, I do not hear you. Nancy Sorden? Nancy Sorden, I do
no.
Not hear you. Nancy, you're here. Okay. Nancy votes no. Okay. And Marion Douglas Ngaro? Marion, I do not hear you. Okay. Let me see. Let's go back and do the yeses. Anthony, yes, that's one. Grace, yes, two. Fred, three. Jan, four. Charles, five. Frank, six. Bill, seven. That's it. Seven. Seven, yes? Okay. On now the noes. No is a Bob no, Serene no, Nancy, Cyber, and Naitomi no, Wesley no, Jim no. So there's five. Five no, seven yes.
And Nancy and Thornton no. Six no.
Oh, wait a minute. One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, six no. Seven yes, a six no. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, so yes. Grace's amendment's adopted. Are there any other amendments to the agenda?
Yeah, it's Bob. I just want to propose the 10 minutes about bulk mail versus first-class mail for right after the NES.
Okay. Is there any objections to that? Or any discussion, sorry, first? Okay, any objections to adding that after the NES report in Q&A? Okay, hearing none, then that's adopted. Any other amendments to the agenda?
Yes. Moving
okay, Nancy.
On to my two motions. Yeah, moving on to two motions. One is about I'm trying to remember what I did, about the approval of NES and LES for any card or promotion PSA that goes on the air and concerning the elections. And another is the I cannot remember. What did I say before? I sent it in earlier. I can't remember now. Oh, yeah, that the cards be posted before they start playing. We've never gotten that done. Never.
The card schedule?
Yeah, the card schedule. I mean, we were promised last year, never got it.
Okay, so where do you want to put that and how long?
This is Lynn.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey there. How are we doing on this?
A minute. We're almost done with the agenda.
Okay. So should I stay on or should I call back?
Why don't you call back in about 3 minutes? That might be better.
Okay. We'll do.
Okay. Thanks. What do you want to listen?
Okay. Bill, just put my
Nancy.
Two things after Bob. After Bob. So this is Grace things and then about WBFD and then Bob and then Nancy's two things. That's fine.
Okay, both of the two motions that you emailed us?
Yeah.
Okay, is everybody clear what they are? Anybody need more clarification?
One of them is about the NES and LES that we moved to recommend to the PMB, to recommend to the ED, to recommend to the GMs or order them that the any carts or any promotionals about the election should have the NES and LES approval. And then the other thing is that the cart schedule must be published on the websites, both station and the Pacifica, before they start playing.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? Are there any objections? Well, I'm gonna object. I don't think we need to do that. I think it'd be easier just to ask the NES about it. But I won't object. If nobody else objects, then I'm not going to call for a roll call. Is there any other objections?
Frank Fever, Sack. Yeah, I think it would work a little better if we reserve that for direct questions to the supervisor.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay.
Do you want me to call roll call?
Yeah, go ahead and call the roll for that, please.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, wait, hold on. Serene? did you want to say something?
Yes, I want to speak to the issue of Nancy's motion.
Okay, if you could speak up a little louder, it's hard to hear. But go ahead, Serene.
I'm doing my best. I have a toothache. I can barely open my mouth. Anyway, there may or may not be time in the NAS section to address it, but I do think it needs to be addressed. So I think it should be placed on the agenda. If we are able to take it up during the NAS report, that's fine. Otherwise, we'd be looking at a two-thirds majority in order to add it later.
Did somebody mute? There's noise in the background. I can't hear you, Serene.
Could you speak a little louder, Serene, possibly?
I cannot. I just said I have a toothache and can barely open my mouth. So my point is that if there's time during the NAS report for it to be taken up, that's fine. Otherwise, we should be able to get the two-thirds majority to add it, just put it on there.
Okay, I'd say since Lynn is here and we've already kept her waiting, if there's no objections, can we suspend, the agenda approval and go ahead directly go into the NES report and Q&A, and then we'll pick up the rest of the agenda approval after that?
I want us to just approve the agenda and be done. It's not such a big deal. The reasonable request that she's making.
Okay, it just sounds like we're going to have to vote on this amendment, and then we'll have to vote on the agenda. And I don't know if there's any other discussion or amendments people want to make. I just want to be able, Lynn, to be able to get to a report as soon as possible.
Should I call back again?
Well, no. Let me just ask if there's any objections to go ahead and doing what I suggested, that we put the agenda approval on hold, essentially postpone it until after the NES report and Q&A. So that Lynn can go ahead and give her report now.
No objections.
Okay, hearing no objections, then, yeah, go ahead, Lynn. We have 45 minutes for you.
Okay, great. Last week we announced the candidate lists. So we were able to announce three of them last Wednesday from WPFW, KPFA, and KPFK. And then we announced WBAI last Thursday and KPFT last Friday. Some of the stations had bigger challenges with their lists, and so that's why some of the stations took a little bit longer. And, you know, it's an interesting process. I think I talked about it on the last call, so I don't need to go too much in detail with it. For the most part, the verification process, although taking a long time, was fairly smooth. There are a handful of candidates who did not submit all of their information in time, and so they were notified of that. And in some cases, they understood that, you know, a deadline is a deadline. And in other cases, they, you know, asked for appeals, whatever it might be. And there's, I think, at this point, maybe one appeal about a candidate verification that's still outstanding. And then there's another one that I actually had a question for the folks on this call. I have a bunch of questions tonight. I'll flag the question right now, which is if a candidate gets disqualified because they didn't meet the requirements, they didn't turn in their signed cover sheet, their candidate statement up to 500 words, and their signatures by the deadline, if someone else asks why that candidate was disqualified, the LES were wondering, you know, how much personal information we should be disclosing to other people about, you know, another candidate's, like, lack of qualification. And that's a tricky one here, as we're starting to get some complaints of figuring out how much to share, what should be public, what isn't. But that one is something that just came up today, is that someone had emailed an LES who had disqualified a candidate who didn't have all their stuff in on time. And, you know, we just don't know whether it's appropriate to tell this third party that or not. So that's something we wanted a little guidance on. We're starting to get a few complaints, not tons. There was a problem with, or one person had a problem with the online form on the report a campaign violation page. And the person tried multiple times and had multiple problems. So because I can't figure out why that person is having problems, I've taken the online form portion down. So there is a downloadable Word document, so people can fill out that and then email it back to us. Until we can figure out why this one person is having a problem, we decided it's just better to take that form down in case other people are having similar problems, although other people were able to use it, and the multiple tests we ran seemed to work okay. But, you know, if one person's having a problem, our sort of philosophy has been that means other people might have a problem, so let's try to fix the problem. And since I haven't been able to fix it, instead I just went to what I mentioned, is that people can download a form, fill it out, email it back to us. And the reason for that is because the form, whether it was the online form or the downloadable one, has very specific categories, so we can get the exact information we need in order to investigate a complaint. Because we do still get a lot of emails that are very, very long and have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 paragraphs to them that sort of jump around, and sometimes it's very difficult to understand exactly what the complaint is. So anyway, I just wanted to update everyone on that piece. So with the announcement of the lists, I had sent out using the emails that had been provided from the stations, and then we asked the stations to also send out an announcement. That way people were getting hopefully hit, you know, once or twice. Not everyone always opens all their emails. You know, an email from me might go into their spam folder, but maybe they've already approved an email from the station, so we just thought it would be better to do that. And then the LES were asked to record carts, and I think most of them are doing that this week, to basically announce on air, hey, the candidate lists are available. You know, you can click on, you know, your station candidate and statement page and then see the list of candidates and their statements. There were a few statements that didn't make it up, but that's been resolved. In most situations, it was a small delay, and it was really more just of an oversight. Some stations have 26, 36 candidates. So at this point, the list should be as complete as, you know, they will be, other than the one or two appeals from candidates who are disqualified that we're still working through, which is good, because the next thing that I've been working on is the proposals from the ballot companies. The RFP that was based on the one that was sent out last year, and we'd received 4 proposals, 4 different companies, and 2 of them had a similar price. Similar price if we didn't use a union print shop on one of them, and then 2 of them were significantly higher. Of the 2 who had a similar price, one of them was asking for a lot of money up front, and the other one was asking for less money up front. So at the PMB call last week, I had sort of typed up where we were at and made a recommendation. And that recommendation was for a company called True Ballot Inc. And the PMB was able to set aside money so that the contract process could be continued, signing the contract, sending them the money, because we're really starting to push things. I mean, this Friday is like the 22nd, and there's information that most of the ballot companies, I'd asked them to provide a timeline, and they pretty much had all said, well, we'd like to start having approvals on, you know, the design of envelopes, the design of ballots, you know, by the end of next week, as well as having the mailing list so that we can, you know, double check them, run them through the NCOA, like updated mailing address information. And so we're just really starting to push up against these fairly firm deadlines if we want to make sure that the ballots do go out August 15th. So I spent a bit of time on the phone with pretty much all of the ballot companies, either in advance of their submitting their proposal or after they submitted their proposal, sent them emails if I had questions. And so, you know, some of them were more flexible than others, and some of them were able to, you know, maybe come down their price a little bit, or at least how much they would be asking for up front. But ultimately, True Ballot had the combination of the most flexibility with their prepayment terms, as well as one of the lowest bids. So that's the one that I had recommended. I sent off the contract to be signed by the executive director earlier today after having a conversation with 2 of the principals in True Ballot, so Kenny Mostern and Caleb Kleppner. Kenny Mostern is based in California. Caleb Kleppner is based in Connecticut. And there should be a fairly even distribution of labor. I guess Caleb's specialty is like ballot design, and I have a question about that one. And so he'll be designing the envelopes and the ballots and sort of getting the mailing together, working with the print house, working with the mailing house. The ballots will return to California, where Kenny is. Jimmy Mostern, and he'll be handling the receiving of the ballots as they come in, the sending out of replacement ballots, giving the updates when I request them as far as how many paper ballots have come in, because we'll be able to see how many online votes have been cast. We won't be able to see what the votes are. We'll just be able to know. And this way we can keep track of how well we're doing in terms of quorum. And then Kenny will be the person who will, at the end of the cycle, after September 30th, when all the ballots are in, he will do the ballot counting process. True Ballot is very, very familiar with the single transferable vote with Choice Plus Pro. And so I feel very confident that as long as we can meet all the deadlines and the materials that we need to get to them, that portion, at least, of the election should go fairly smoothly. So the portion that the LESs are working on now, since they finished sort of the candidate verification last week, this week they started to get candidates into the studio to record their candidate parts. And so there are a few candidates who just don't want to do it, and that's entirely up to them. Most candidates seem to want to record a cart and have been coming into the studio and doing so. And so the hope was that we would be able to start running the carts no later than July 28th. That way you'd have like 4 weeks before the September 30th deadline, finish figuring that we're going to stop airing carts, the candidate carts, on the 28th. So the final 2 days would just be carts. Reminder cards from the LESs reminding people they haven't yet voted, to either go online and vote or come in to the station to vote. Another question I had about what would be the best hours. So we know that after the carts are all scheduled, the station, based on the recommendations and the proposal passed by the PMB last year, which was based on a recommendation made by the election committee, in terms of the rotation guidelines. So all of the station managers and program directors and all the LESs have been forwarded that information, which Bob Lederer forwarded, which is very helpful. And so obviously, from what I read from lots of past reports, this is where things can get tricky if all of a sudden the rotation schedule is not followed. The LESs have been told to expect that they're going to get, people contacting them that either a cart didn't run or it did run, or maybe a cart ran twice and all those kind of things. And so we're really trying to come up with a good plan on how to resolve those issues. And so since we haven't done it before, we think we might have a good system, and obviously we might need to update it and adjust it. But many of the LESs are quite good at the administrative side of this, and they're very good with Excel and tracking things. There's one or two who maybe aren't as strong on the administrative side, but they have gotten incredibly high sort of accolades for their interactions with candidates and potential candidates in the station and the studio. So, no one, including myself, is perfect. We all have strengths and weaknesses. I think collectively as a whole team, though, we have quite a strong team. And so that will be the piece that after the cart's recorded, then the rotation schedule. Then on their end, they're going to start looking at scheduling the on-air candidate forums. The guidelines that Bob had forwarded also included guidelines in terms of no more than 5 candidates in a forum. So for some stations like KPFK, which have 30-plus candidates, they might end up having to schedule 7 or 8 forums, whereas other stations might be able to just do 2. So that's obviously something that each station is going to have to work with station itself for comparable airtime, and then obviously contact the candidates. We do have some questions about those forums, about the call-in process, which if we have time on the call today, we could maybe discuss. Otherwise, we should have time before the forums air, another call before the forums air to maybe get clarification. Or as their questions come in, I might be able to submit them to the election committee. So I'm trying to think what else. So then after the carts get recorded, the rotation schedule begins, the carts start being aired, then the ballots go out on August 15th. And right now, it looks like we should be able to, meet the deadline of getting all the materials to the ballot company, all the lists, in order to meet all the scheduled deadlines to get that mail out happening on the 15th. At the same time that the paper ballots are being mailed out, anyone we have an email address for will also be emailed throughout the 6-week cycle, August 15th to September 30th. We can send reminder email blasts, and if someone has already voted online, then they won't get a reminder to vote online because they've already voted. And again, as I mentioned earlier, as you get these reports, you can get a sense of how close we are to quorum. The ballot company can be receiving the ballots as they come in, and so that means that they sort of scan through an open window of a barcode that's on a detachable receipt, so they'll know who's already turned in a ballot. They won't open them and start scanning them or processing them until after the close of the election on the 30th, but they can be receiving them. That way we can get reports of how many paper ballots have come in and how many online votes have come in. They have a system and a process to make sure that if someone does vote two ways, you know, that the last one is the one that counts. But for the most part, those reports they give us will be, you know, mostly up to date, and it will give us a really good sense of how close we are to quorum. And so I've asked the LESs to start thinking about, you know, additional ways that they can reach out during the balloting period, who else they can reach out to ask for help, which reminds me, in the original packet, there was a demographic questionnaire to be forwarded to committees of inclusion, and not all the candidates submitted that. So one thing that when the candidates are coming in to record their carts, I asked each of the LES to have several copies of that form available and asked the candidates who didn't already submit one if they would be willing to fill it out, because the more candidates who fill it out, obviously a wider representation you get of the diversity or the answers to the questions that you're trying to find out. So we haven't forwarded them to the Committee of Inclusion yet, because we are going through this process of trying to get a few more. Since it wasn't anything that was directly related to the requirements in order to be a candidate, it was a purely optional function. We are therefore accepting things after the deadline, but because these were a purely optional piece of paperwork that I felt was important and understood why it was being requested. And so, like I said, we're just doing our best to try to actually get a few more turned in before we submit them to the committees of inclusion. And that the reason I mentioned that was because I was thinking about outreach and diversity of outreach. So two of the LESs are bilingual Spanish speakers that I think I've mentioned before. So I think in addition to recording carts in English, they will likely record carts in Spanish as well. And then work with the stations to make sure those carts only air on, you know, Spanish language programming, things like that. I expect that probably next week, once they've finished getting all their candidates' carts recorded and finished cleaning all of their lists, because I really need them by this Friday, by Monday at the absolute latest, so that I can then go through, because they're cleaning and deduping their lists at their station. So they're making sure we have mailing addresses, or if not a mailing address, an email address. They're making sure that unpaid staff who also happen to have paid $25 aren't on both lists, that they only are on the staff list, but, you know, trying to make sure that people are only getting a single ballot. So if they volunteered more than 3 hours and they donated money, you know, they might have been submitted to us twice, but we're going to run those deduping. What happens after all the stations have deduped and cleaned their lists, I get all five of them, and then what I have to do is run a dedupe to make sure there's people who donate to multiple stations. So they might donate to, you know, BAI and KPFK and KPFT, but they only get one ballot, so those people need to be contacted to find out which ballot they want, and so then they need to make sure they're on that list and then removed from the other lists. So, you know, this stuff is sort of painstaking, but it absolutely needs to happen. It just does take time, which is why these deadlines are coming up on us hard and fast, and we're just doing the best we can. So I think I had said I wanted to do about a 15-minute update and then leave 30 minutes for Q&A. So I think I'm just about at that 15-minute mark. I could probably keep talking, but I'll stop now.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. So who has questions?
Nancy, go ahead.
Nancy and Grace, go ahead, Nancy.
And Anthony.
And Sue.
And Bob.
Okay. All right.
And Nancy.
Okay, Nancy Sorten, was your, I believe, your
first? Ann Goodman.
Okay. I have Nancy Sorten, Grace, Serene, Bob, Jan. Did I miss somebody?
Yeah, me, Anthony. I think I spoke up third.
Okay.
Barbara from KPFT. I spoke before. I don't remember. Jan, was it some woman's voice? Grace, I guess.
Okay. Nancy Sorten was first. So go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lynn. Sounds like you're on the right on top of things. I had a question about the companies that are doing the ballot.
Yes.
I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
Has the company been chosen yet?
Yes. So it'll be True Ballot. True Ballot 8.
So we've contracted with them already.
So I sent the contract to Lydia today.
Okay. And they're the ones that required money up front?
Oh, they all would have required money up front. They actually required less money than a company that had a similar bid. So Election Services Corporation had a similar bid if we used a non-union printer, as in they provide two options, a union printer and a non-union printer. If we went with the non-union printer, then their bid was comparable to True Ballot's. If we had said, for example, that, oh, no, we needed a union printer, then that was an additional $10,000 in printing. But taking into the idea of using a non-union printer, which, you know, their lower bid, and True Ballot, Election Services Corporation had originally asked for 90% of all costs up front. So they were both in the $70,000 range, and so that would have meant, what, $63,000. Whereas True Ballot had said we wanted 100% of the postage costs, because the U.S. Postal Service doesn't wait for anyone, and 50% of their fees. And so that came to, I think, about $38,337. Subsequent to that, that was what I reported on the call to the PMB last week, because I had reached out to Election Services Corporation to find out if there was any wiggle room in their 90% prepayment figure. They hadn't gotten back to me right away. They did subsequently get back to me, asked what I was thinking in terms of wiggle room. I quoted them the same 100% postage, 50% fee that True Ballot had offered, and they countered with 100% postage, 60% of all costs, so which still came to about, I think it was $45,000 or $48,000, primarily because True Ballot's asking for 50% of fees, so they're not asking for the printing costs up front. So anyway, long story short, True Ballot was chosen primarily because of their flexibility on their, because all things being equal, other than True Ballot, the union printer, and the lower bid of Election Services Corporation for the union printer, True Ballot was offering lower prepayment costs. I hope that was clear.
Yes, that was very clear.
Okay.
And the prepayment was due
upon signing the contract.
Okay.
And
there's deadlines for signing the contract?
Well, the deadlines for signing the contract had to do with the timelines for getting the materials to all the ballot companies, which I'm going to start sending them. I'm going to try to start sending them stuff this Friday versus next Monday. Most of the companies, when they submitted, they all basically wanted information by Monday, the 25th. I'm aiming for the 22nd, figuring I probably won't make it because I know there's at least one station whose list is in appalling shape. So that was the idea, is if we need them to start working, designing ballots, designing envelopes, putting things together by on Monday, we needed to have a contract signed and a check to them by this Friday. And so what I'm hoping is that, that will all be resolved either tomorrow, or Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. I believe Grace was next.
Yes. I've been very concerned about WPFW because there are fewer candidates than there are open seats,
yes,
which makes holding an election kind of absurd. So I would like to suggest that that election be reopened and that the nomination period be extended and that sufficient carts are aired at WPFW to bring in enough candidates to make an election workable. The other thing is, the last election was never held because the same thing happened. And WPFW is doing very poorly financially, which could be the result of poor governance. So I think it's very important that you consider reopening the nomination period, the election for WPFW, so that more people put themselves forward as candidates.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Certainly, and it looked like we were not going to have enough candidates. And that was something which, prior to the deadline, I think WPFW had about 14 or 15 people who had registered online, and we were aware of at least, I think, two people who were gathering signatures who, as of, say, the day before or so, had not yet registered. So we were hoping that there would, in fact, be enough candidates, even though last year there hadn't been. On the close of the election, quite a few people just didn't turn in their papers. And then a few people, their papers, they didn't submit enough. One candidate just didn't submit enough signatures, didn't even submit 15 signatures. For example, another candidate had submitted 17, but there were 5 duplicates. A staff candidate, and this is something we're in the process of revisiting, had management sign the paperwork, and so did not have the 5 eligible signatures. So anyway, so when it looked like that was going to be happening, I started looking at what's been done in the past, and it was mentioned to me by a few people that there had always traditionally been write-in candidate options, and when I did some research, discovered that, in fact, 2 write-in candidates had won, I think, last year, Lynn Stewart at WBAI and then Dorothy Rayek, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce your last name, at KPFK.
Dorothy Rayek.
Right, thank you. Right, and so tried to figure out, you know, what's this history of write-in candidates. Had sample ballots sent to me. Bill was very helpful. I had already had some sample ballots from last year. He sent me ones from 2010 and 2012 as well. I had actually reached out to a couple of former one who I was able to have a brief conversation with, NES, because I had read his report that discussed the write-in candidate option. Eljoy Williams' report also mentioned the write-in candidate option as something that she thought, I think she recommended that the PNB look at it and maybe come up with more guidelines. Anyway, so since there was a history of write-in candidate options and then a history of write-in candidates actually getting elected, the decision to hold an election where people could submit their names as write-ins, since there was probably at least 3 candidates on that original 15 or 16 who I think maybe will decide to choose that option, and then perhaps others. So when I called Jerry Paris, the manager, and explained the situation to him and that I was strongly leaning towards the idea of holding the election anyway, because the intent of the bylaws is clear. They want the voters to make a decision. Because if you looked at all, like the decision that Eljoy made last year, like I'm not her, so I don't know why, but I can say that if I had made a similar decision this year, which is different than what you're suggesting, I understand. I just want to go through my thought process. You know, it was a total of, I think, 60 people total who had signed like the 6 candidates. Papers. So it would be a very, very small number of people who would be determining who was on the board if we didn't hold the election at all. So I really wasn't very excited about that option, and I know it was chosen last year, and of course, and that option also meant you didn't have like the runner-ups and things like that. But the option that you mentioned of extending the election, my understanding is that was done last year, and there was still a problem with lack of candidates. And then because of the issue you raised about finances, my decision is not based on finances. My decision is based on what I think is the right thing to do as an election administrator. And so when I spoke with Jerry and I outlined what I thought was the right thing to do, he had said he agreed, and I just made it clear, you know, well, this means you're holding an election. You know, I know that's what you would assume would be happening anyway and had budgeted for, and, you know, and that he said, yep, I understand. You know, if you extend an election, then you have to, of course, pay additional staff and things like that, and there's no guarantee that you get additional candidates. So I'm quite confident in the decision I made as an election administrator, and so I do think that the folks at WPFW who are, you know, very involved with the station or have lots of friends who are involved with the station, certainly I would expect that they would help spread the word,
as much as they can. And so at that station, the cart has already begun recording that the candidate list is there. And next week, we're going to, I've asked David, who's the local election supervisor there, to draft a cart specifically about this write-in topic to make it even more obvious if people have questions. And so I think that will be a challenge for us, yes, to continue to make sure that people understand that the option exists. And but otherwise, my decision is still to continue the election based on the timeline that is prescribed in the bylaws, which is a June 1st and June 30th nomination period, ballots being sent out August 15th, close of voting on September 30th.
Can I please have a moment to respond?
Well, I think we do have quite a few people on the stack. Would it be okay if we put you back at the end of the stack?
Okay.
Unless it's really quick.
It's just that there's no mechanism for the voter to know who the write-in candidates are. The two write-in candidates who won in the last election
mm-hmm.
were part of slates.
Okay.
And those slates advertised their candidacy
mm-hmm.
sufficiently for them to win. There's
okay.
not necessarily any such mechanism happening at WPFW.
So obviously the folks have a model of what a successful write-in campaign could look like. So I think it's great that they have that model.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. Anthony, who's next?
Hello.
Who's that?
Hello.
Oh.
Excuse
yes?
me, sorry. This is Marion in Washington. I didn't know if I was on mute or not, and I just wanted to get on the stack.
Okay. Yeah, and thanks for joining us. Great. Okay. Can you enter to the attendance, Nancy?
So wait, I'm sorry, just real
yeah.
quick. I think we probably have to close the stack, just given how many people I think you still have on the list. And
well,
that I had
morning, yeah.
offered. Yeah, and I had offered 45 minutes, so right. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Okay, next person, Anthony.
Okay, let's try to keep the questions and maybe the responses quick.
Yeah, I'll try to be briefer. Sorry.
Okay, because we have Anthony, Serene, yeah. Bob, Nancy Savarner, Tommy, Jan, and then Marion if there's time.
I'm sorry, how did Anthony get ahead of me?
Okay, I have...
I'm sorry, Bill?
Yes, what was this ring?
How did Anthony move so far up on the stack?
That's the third order I wrote him down on.
Oh, he asserted that he was third, and therefore he is third. Okay.
Yeah, and you're right after him.
Bill just didn't catch it.
You're right after him, so we'll get to you, Serene.
My question
okay, well, go ahead, Anthony. Let's try to brief everybody.
I hope these questions will both be short. First, there was, I think, a problem in a previous election whereby all the return envelopes looked the same, so it wasn't possible to know toward which station's quorum an envelope was counted. So hopefully
yep.
each envelope will be distinct, so you'll be able to tell A's from K's and T's from W's and such.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me just answer that really quickly. It's not the way the outer envelope looks. It's based on the barcode, which is part of a detachable receipt, so that when voters mail back their ballots, there's a window. And so what the ballot company does is they scan that barcode, and that's how it's receipted. So it's receipted based on that voter's name and therefore the station in the database. So it is easy to do.
So it's identified without opening the envelope.
Yes, because that's how we can get quorum. That's how we can get our count. Yes, sorry.
And my other question is, on our LSB, we have both some incumbent LSB members and some candidates who live at a considerable distance from the station, in fact, even from
mm-hmm.
the metropolitan area. Would there be any problem with a candidate recording his cart on the phone?
I don't know what station you're from, Anthony. I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized.
Okay.
See, I had no clue. So I can tell you that it has been strongly, strongly, strongly recommended to us by the sound engineers, I guess maybe that's the right term, traffic engineers, at each station to really, really, really try to get people to come in and record their carts. So all of the LESs have been asked to try as hard as possible to make that happen. If it can't happen and a special accommodation needs to be made, then, you know, the candidate should work with the LES on that, recognizing that, you know, the quality could be different, One of the things that seems to be happening is that there's a little bit of a sort of an intro or a closing tag on the carts where, you know, maybe the LES says something like, and here from another candidate, and don't forget to visit elections.pacifica.org for more info. I'm not techy enough to know if, you know, if someone sends in something that's recorded on the phone, whether that'll work out. But so all I can say is that if someone absolutely can't get into the studio and this is the only option, then it seems as though that will have to be what happens. But we're really strongly trying to find times for people to come in and record. We had an example of a woman who I think was, I can't remember now exactly, but let's say she's in L.A., but she's going to be on vacation, in San Francisco. And so she asked if she could record her cart at KPFA in Berkeley. So the LES from whatever station it was, I think it was L.A., you know, KPFK, contacted with Earl, who's LES at KPFA, to make sure that can happen. So that's really how serious we are about trying as much as possible to get people into the studio. But we understand that not everyone is able to make it. Some people may have mobility issues, childcare issues, and we do understand those issues.
Okay, can we go on to the next question?
Thank you. Sorry. I'm being long. Okay. Apologies.
Okay, thank you. Serene?
Okay, so thank you, Lynn. I have a couple of questions. The first, and I'll try to just get them all out. The first is about the length of the cards. We were initially, and I haven't had a chance to follow up with my LAS about
this. Yeah, she sent a typo. I think she's already sent out a correction. Yeah.
Right, but unfortunately, she initially said 30 seconds. And then someone actually went in today, and they were told to do a 60-second cart, and then we got a memo saying do a 45-second cart. But
okay.
Based on our having been told that someone did a 60, I recommended to others just go ahead and do the 60-second cart because apparently it's in the process of being changed. Now we're being told it's a 45-second cart, so I'm a little concerned about that. And I've just forgotten my two questions because obviously I'm distracted, but I'll come back to that.
Yeah. So Keone made a mistake. I'm not thrilled because, you know, mistakes end up compounding and people get very nervous about it. When I had told the LESs that based on what I read in past reports and from my conversations with most of the general managers and program directors and traffic engineers, that the cart should be in the 45 to 50 second length. What happened was when Keone went and spoke with whoever she was talking to at the station, I think they told her 30 seconds, and that's how that originally, I think, happened. So she made an error, and then she was supposed to go back and correct that error. So I don't know about one person who might have gone in and recorded a long cart. I don't know why or how that could have happened. I'll find that out. Rather than everyone getting 60 seconds, I'd rather that one person, if they're able, go back to a shorter one. Because what happens is that all the other stations are doing 45 to 50 seconds. And part of it is, I think, has to do with, as I mentioned, the sort of intro and sort of closer and the archives and all that kind of stuff. And also from what I've read of past reports. So I can't give you a better answer. I mean, I hate having to sort of say, you know, someone made a mistake, and that is what happened. And so I will, this is the first I'm hearing about someone going in and recording 60 seconds. So other than trying to track that down and then seeing if that person can come back in, I can't right now automatically say, oh, no, everyone's going to get to do 60, because that's really not what it should be based on what we've been told. All right.
I'm sorry. I will follow up with you offline. I only raised it because I don't know what people at other stations are experiencing at the moment. But
I mean, unfortunately, this is the only station it happened at. You know, the LES made a mistake. I hate having to out someone publicly, but that's what happened. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell you. I'm sorry, just a minute.
Okay. Okay, second question.
Grace got more than almost 10 minutes, so please. So my question is, I mean, I don't even understand the restriction for 45 seconds because I asked there was just a repetitive thing, a disclaimer at the front, a disclaimer at the end. You can't say very much in less than 60 seconds. Even the general TSAs are 58 seconds. So, you know, this is the one message that the candidate gets to put out on the air. I don't even understand why it should be restricted to less than 60 seconds, but I will follow up with you. And there were two other things that I no longer remember. I'll get back on the stack if possible.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Okay, thank you.
Next.